Welcome to the Newsbusters podcast with your host, executive editor of Newsbusters, Tim Graham.
Hello and howdy from sizzling Reston, Virginia. It's a May heat wave. Global warming! Looks like a banned fossil fuels weekend for Al Gore, but I guess that's every weekend. We should begin by urging you to check out MRC founder and president Brent Bozell this Sunday night on Life, Liberty, and Levin. It's on twice, of course, 8 p.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Adjust if you're one of those normal people in Central, like I used to be. We have worked up a list in advance of all the times the liberal media elites have energetically smeared us. Smeared violent events on conservatives, on right-wing talk radio, an atmosphere, a rhetoric, from Buffalo all the way back to, Oklahoma City, when the media suggested Timothy McVeigh was somehow a Newt Gingrich protege. Joining us today on the podcast, Associate Editor Kyle Drennan, fresh in from lunch.
Yes, I am.
We're discussing abortion today, and specifically just the way that the media thump the tub for abortion in the wake of the leak of Alito's draft opinion. I wanted to start with Fast Company magazine, which used to be more of a thing, like a lot of magazines. But Brian Stelter in the CNN media unit reported Fast Company on Tuesday responded to criticism over its story about, well, they were doing a survey of nearly 200 companies on their corporate abortion stances. And, of course, Stelter was upset because Fox News was framing the story in nefarious terms. Their lead, a business magazine, is pressuring companies to take a survey about their abortion stance and vows to disclose those who do not comply. Well, that's exactly what they did.
Right.
Fast Company editor David Lidsky told CNN the nearly 200 companies that Fast Company sought to survey on their abortion policies had ample opportunity to comment or to contact our journalists if they wanted more information. Fast Company published the exact questions we sent those major employers. I couldn't find them when I went looking for them, as well as a series of articles making the case for abortion access. We stand by the editorial merit of our reporting. Doesn't sound like reporting.
No, not at all. No. And I mean, this is a pressure tactic. This is an intimidation tactic. This is saying we want you to tell us exactly where your stand is on abortion. We want you to a private company to weigh in on one of the most, politically divisive, yeah, heated, contentious issues of our time. And if you don't answer our questions, we're going to call you out. We're going to name names, put you on a list. And then, of course, if someone does give an answer and maybe the magazine doesn't like the answer,
yeah,
then how is that going to get covered? So it's clearly like you are going to come out in favor of abortion, basically, or we're going to come after you.
Yeah, I mean, so they have this special section on the Fast Company website, which they're linking to, or Stelter is linking to, and it's titled "The Business Case for Abortion Access: Why Corporate Silence on Reproductive Rights Harms Workers and Companies." We won't talk about who abortion harms. They always kind of leave that one out.
No.
But yeah, when you look at their whole reporting here, the merits of their reporting, access to abortion and all reproductive care allows people who can get pregnant.
People.
The ability to fully participate in the labor force, especially in a country with no paid leave or universal child care. Can we tell where these people are smoking?
Yeah.
A dearth of safe, accessible reproductive care will continue to disproportionately affect low-wage workers and otherwise marginalized communities, including LGBTQ and disabled employees. So what we're seeing here is exactly what you're saying. This is a crusade. And yeah, what we really face today is a woke media. Woke mega media corporations pressuring all the other corporations.
Yeah, no, I mean, that phrasing there is basically like, answer questions on our survey. If you don't, or if you don't answer the questions in a certain way, then that just means that you hate poor people and you hate your employees. I mean, that's basically how they're framing it. So it's, you know,
yeah, corporate citizenship, corporate social responsibility is surrender and see it our way. I mean, that is the way they're doing it. So, the last line in the piece that this was in, demanding the advocacy. If now isn't a convenient time for companies to speak up, when will it be? When Obergefell versus Hodges falls, that's the gay marriage case, or Eisenstadt versus Baird, that's contraception for single people.
Yeah.
What about Loving versus Virginia?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
That's right. When Clarence Thomas overrules interracial marriage, then will they speak up?
Right.
So this wasn't just a Fast Company survey. We were finding, Kyle and Curtis Houck were finding, this has become a bit of a CBS Mornings crusade.
Yes.
First, when they had on Brian Moynihan, the Bank of America CEO, and there, Nate Burleson, former wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks and another couple of teams, I think. I think he was a Viking for a while. Now he's a journalist. Let's take a listen to some of that.
I would like to hear your thoughts on something that has been a topic of conversation over the last couple of days. The Supreme Court is reportedly planning to overturn Roe v. Wade. There have been reports that major employers, including Citigroup, that they are going to cover travel expenses for women that want to get abortions in other states. Will Bank of America be doing the same?
With all things like this, we look at what our team needs from us. So first of all, the decision has to come down, and the leak and everything that you guys have been covering is tragic in a sense. When a case comes down, we have a group of teammates who will sit there with our HR teammates and a broader group. They'll sit and say, what do we need to do for our team? So the positions we take on this and other matters as a company has to be over what our team needs.
And then Tony DeCopel follows up on this whole idea that you know, CEOs are supposed to drive. You said you're supposed to drive what you think is right. Do you think it's correct women should have this access or not? Right? So,
yeah.
We're getting the feel for this. I wonder, Kyle, in these things, did CBS ever announce what their policy is? Do CBS News employees get the right to travel for abortions, or none of them work in red states?
That's a good question. Yeah, the Bank of America CEO should have said, well, what's your policy, Tony? What's your policy, Nate, Gail? What is the CBS corporate policy on all these things? I'd love to know.
Yes, that's we always suggest to anyone in our role as amateur media advisors, please, at least for our amusement, turn the question around on the interviewer.
No, that would be great. But yeah, I mean, it's sort of like the Fast Company thing. This is not, you're not just neutrally, you know, asking, wondering where, you know, what the policy is. You're looking to try to elicit a certain answer in favor of abortion. So that is clearly the effort here. It's not, oh, we were just wondering, you know, where you stand on this. It's, we want you to answer this question in a very specific way that we like. Otherwise, we're gonna come after you.
And it seems to me that they've mostly done this on the culture war issues. It's it's where you are in abortion, where you are on LGBTQ, it's where you are on wokeness in general, George Floyd, Black Lives Matter, CRT. Nobody's going, we need to know what your position is on the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, no, they're not asking those questions, no.
I mean, not that that's as, that right now is not as divisive abortion.
No.
But it seems to me that, yes, they're very limited. You know, they're certainly not expecting them to say, what is your position on corporate taxes? Well, we can guess what their position would be, but I mean, it is...
Right. They're not being asked, what do you think of illegal immigration and how the Biden administration is handling that? And how is that affecting the economy and your business? Like, they're not asking those kinds of questions that would put Democrats and liberals in an awkward situation. You know, if these companies start talking about those issues, they want to talk about issues that, oh, let's talk about an issue and have you sort of, you know, go to war with conservatives over something.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's certainly true, although corporations on illegal immigration, you know, I mean, sort of the joke would be that, yes, the Chamber of Commerce types are like, we're fat, cheaper yeah. labor. Then there was CBS had on the CEO of United Airlines. And yes. once again, here comes Nate Burleson basically suggesting vaguely about what are they doing to fund abortion travel? You know, are you supposed to step up when these issues arise for your employees?
Scott, we've been talking over the last couple of weeks about the possibility of Roe v. Wade being yeah. overturned. And, you know, I find that nowadays politics and business are somewhat synonymous. Do you feel like it's an obligation to step in when these issues arise for your employees?
So my obligation, I think, is to do the right thing for our employees. Our recent advertising campaign is Good Leads the Way. We've tried to do the right thing throughout.
And then Gail King seemed to imply, well, if you're not subsidizing abortions, can you at least take a stand here on my show?
Yeah, no. I mean, in the clip, Burleson even says an obligation. Do you have an obligation to make sure that, you know, you can help your employees get abortions? I mean, it's just these questions are not, you know, these are not just we were curious. This is we're steering you in a very specific direction of saying, yes, yes, we need to help our employees all get abortions whenever they want to.
Now, I did a column on Wednesday. Jerry Nadler's House Judiciary Committee had one of these hearings on abortion access. One witness even called it the coming of the new Jane Crow. Jim Crow isn't good enough. Now it's now it's Jane Crow for women of color. And some of the witnesses the Democrats put up there, abortion advocates and abortion doctors, the clips from some of these inquiries went all around conservative Twitter. But then we found, surprise, ABC didn't do it. CBS didn't do it. NBC didn't do it. PBS NewsHour did a big, actually pretty decent, fair piece on abortion in Pennsylvania, but they weren't going to cover this hearing. But some of this some of this is really funny because you have this whole notion. Mike Johnson asked this Amy Aaron Bede about just when it becomes a human. Is it 9 months old or an hour old or just, you know, 8 inches up the birth canal? And she wasn't taking this at all.
If it is not lawful and morally acceptable to take the life of a 10-year-old child, I assume you agree with that, right? That would be wrong, correct?
I believe that.
Okay,
that is
and
wrong.
A 2-year-old child, same thing. That would be murder. We would all agree that's wrong. Then what is the principal distinction between the human being that is 2 years old or 9 months old or 1 week old or an hour old than one that is 8 inches further up the birth canal in the utero? What's the difference? Why is it okay in the latter case and not the former cases?
I trust people to determine what to do with their own bodies.
Wow.
Full stop.
Yeah, she just trusts people to determine what to do with their own bodies. This is exactly what we saw from Whoopi Goldberg. It's that whole idea of what they're saying is, it's not a human till I decide it is. It's like Animal House.
I mean, it's completely subjective. It's completely arbitrary. It's what, you know, whatever the woman decides is fine. I mean, their standard is there is no standard. Their standard is whatever people feel like, and you know, that's fine.
It's whatever women feel.
Whatever women feel like right up till the moment of birth.
They'll try to say that women, you know, that men should get in there and support them or whatever. But I mean, in reality, whatever men think about it, they don't think matters. I don't think Whoopi Goldberg cares what the man thinks.
No. I think that they've made that very clear. In a recent interview, Eric Adams, the supposedly moderate Democrat from New York City.
Well, on a New York scale.
On a New York scale, I suppose, yeah. But he came out and basically had the same position as Whoopi Goldberg. Well, whatever the woman decides. But, you know, like, I don't have any limitations or restrictions that I would even think about on abortion.
Yeah, so let's not try to argue that somehow this is a matter of medicine or that this is a matter of science, because what they've decided here is, yes, their whole philosophy is what Pope Benedict called the tyranny of relativism. It's like, it is whatever I decide it is. I am whichever gender I decide I am today. it's a child or it's not a child, depending on what I think. Mm-hmm. The other clip in this hearing that I, well, I can't say I got a kick out of it, but Chip Roy of Texas is interviewing abortion doctor Yashika Robinson, and he basically asks her about the byproducts of an abortion at 20 weeks. Let's listen.
The procedure for an abortion, when we're talking about at 20 weeks, as I understand it, is dilation and extraction. Have you performed abortions at that stage? And in doing so, have you had baby parts that you've had to discard or store in some capacity?
One of the things that you all have done
legs,
throughout,
arms,
this, throughout this hearing is just use inflammatory language.
The inflammatory, no, it's, no, it's a question. Ma'am, it's a simple question.
So, I think we all laughed about this idea that it was inflammatory to ask if limbs go missing or is there a dismembering? That's inflammatory.
It's asking factual questions about the gruesome process that goes on with abortions. It's inflammatory to even ask such questions. It's absurd. It's you don't want to actually talk about the reality of this barbaric process, and you know, you just attack anyone who brings up the facts.
I think it's a prank, Kyle, because to ask an abortionist if there's like spare arms or legs laying around, you know full well we dismember that thing real good. So this is, you know, you're supposed to repeat back to us these euphemistic phrases like abortion care.
Right.
Abortion care for whom?
Right. Right.
I mean, there's, and yet they all have that tendency to suggest that it's these white Republicans who don't recognize humanity. There is a, what really kicked out this for me was there is a Mother Jones article under the headline, "Imagine dealing with this many condescending anti-abortion white men and not losing your, well, poop." We have seen some of this freaking out now in the last 24 hours about Oklahoma's new abortion law. And I think the problem we're having is the whole idea of what is extreme. We've been talking this week about Shannon Bremer on Fox News Sunday, where she talked to Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt and pressed him pretty hard about exceptions or about, you know, what may have been extreme in the Oklahoma law. And I'm listening to this on C-SPAN radio, and I'm saying, wow, this makes it sound like Kevin Stitt's on Face the Nation, not on Fox News Sunday. I mean, it was a grilling.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you discover it's Fox News Sunday because she turns around and interviews the governor of Colorado and does the same thing. She right. basically is like, is there an exception mm-hmm. at any point where you're going, is there, you know, she's basically underlining, is there any restriction of any kind on abortion in Colorado? And he answers with mealy-mouthed, you know, a woman's right to choose is very important. And she says, I'll take that as a no.
yeah, no, exactly. I mean, in the past 24 hours, yeah, we've seen all this, oh, this is the most extreme law. You know, it's a race to see who can pass the most extreme law. That was Terry Moran on Good Morning America today. But there's no suggestion that there are extreme pro-abortion laws in California, in Colorado, in New York, in several other blue states where you can have an abortion on demand up to the moment of birth. There's no restrictions. They don't do anything about that. They don't put up a map and say, here are the states with the most radically pro-abortion laws in the country, and look how extreme they are. But they always have a map of, oh, here's all the red states that are passing these abortion restrictions. It's extreme.
Well, in this case, you would think the pro-abortion states should be in red. But like everything else the liberal media does, they go to a group, in this case, the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is part of Planned Parenthood. And they do this chart where they go, these 22 states are terrible, which they did on voting rights.
Yeah.
With the Brennan Center. I mean, mm-hmm. they do with everything else. And they go to a liberal group and they get some cockamamie thing like, you know, there are 400 laws some Republicans are trying to pass. It doesn't matter if some of them have no chance in whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this whole, it's a wave of dangerous conservative legislative proposals. And this is just the way that, yeah, they want to say the Republicans, they're so extreme. Yeah, let's listen for a second to the way Terry Moran had this morning.
Good morning, Cecilia. This is a glimpse into the future for so many American women. With the Supreme Court seemingly poised to overturn Roe versus Wade, it's looking more and more like a race among the states to pass the most extreme law restricting abortion. And right now, Oklahoma is winning.
And they're never going to say the other side is extreme because they like the other extreme. They support the other extreme. To them, the extreme is the desirable option.
It's the default. It's the way it should be in their minds. That's that's the reality. Yeah, that is the reality of it.
Now, Kyle, speaking of heinous platforms, there's MSNBC. And
yes.
Donnie Deutsch has been on a bender. And we discovered him on several different programs, and they're discussing Buffalo and the white supremacist shooter. Oh, we should mention, tiny aside, yes, the other line they're doing in the wake of Buffalo is that abortion, being pro-life, is white supremacy.
Yes.
Have you seen that?
Yes, they're trying to somehow just connect it all together into one big giant bundle of complete nonsense.
This is where, well, yes, here's why it's complete nonsense. If you're a white supremacist, you like the blacks having all the abortions.
Planned Parenthood was founded by Margaret Carlson. Margaret Sanger, rather. Margaret Sanger, who
close
was,
though.
Margaret Sanger, who is a racist eugenicist, and that was the whole point of having Planned Parenthood providing abortions, was so that minority communities would have the most abortions.
And you know, I was reminded by the link to the Federalist the other day that yes, Ruth Bader Ginsburg even said something about, you know, we don't need this much reproduction from the poor people. I mean, and what does that say? Again, we go back to that whole notion of, oh, this is all about the marginalized communities. And so what they're saying is, we think the marginalized communities should kill as many babies as they want. So in the story, I should mention this before we get back to Donnie Deutsch. CNN.com is a story about how abortion's all white supremacy. And the star of this piece, I mean, by paragraph 3, and I'll write this up later, The star of this story is like, she's had 6 abortions. 6! And it's white supremacy, Kyle, if you stop her from having number 7. So, anyway, yeah, CNN was also doing this a little bit. Michael Eric Dyson was unspooling some of this on the TV. Anyway, Donnie Deutsch and company, they're all worried right now about how, what are Democrats going to do? One of the things I get a kick out of, Kyle does make this point where he said that the tone of the network interviewers when they discuss the Democrats is not really to criticize them. It's sort of to coach them up.
Yes.
What do we do? So, yeah, the Donnie Deutsch things we were getting is they were like, what do they need to do? And Donnie Deutsch is, well, we better make them own Buffalo.
Yeah, he went on, first he went on Nicole Wallace one day, and then he went on Morning Joe the next morning, and it was, make the Republicans own it. They own Buffalo. They have blood on their hands. This is all their fault. And just keep saying that. On Morning Joe, he said, Democrats can't run on the economy. The economy is a loser for Democrats, so they need to, quote, scare the bejesus out of people by just saying Republicans are racist.
You take this heinous platform and you make the Republicans own it. I want to say it again, make the Republicans own it. Every Republican politician, every Republican candidate, ask them about it. Make them, because they can't run from it, because it's part of who they are at this point, as disgusting as that is, but make it the Republican replacement theory. Mainstream it, because this is the way you have to scare. We don't have the economy on our side as Democrats, so you have to scare the bejesus out of people. The way to scare it is say, you know, this replacement theory, this is not just coming from some dark corner of the web. This is the Republican platform.
And he's not saying it in a way of they need to, you know, present this truth about Republicans. He's saying it more like, just say this about Republicans. It doesn't really matter if it's true. Just say it and just keep saying it over and over and over again and just keep scaring voters as much as possible. And maybe they'll just vote for you because you'll make them too scared of the Republicans. So it's very cynical. It's very, the truth doesn't matter. Honesty, facts don't matter. Just say this line over and over again and try and scare people into voting for you.
Yes, Curtis Houck made this point that apparently at some point recently, Joy Reid actually used the phrase, scaring is caring.
Yeah.
That
sums it up.
Well, and they have no fear of when you say basically that the Buffalo shooter was basically Tucker Carlson was whispering into his ear. They have no fear of the so-called independent fact checkers coming in and trying to say anything to them about this sort of thing. And I mean, I think all we can say about all of this at the end of the day is this is probably not going to work. I mean, if we've been through this cycle a few times, and when it comes to the midterms, I think we can project what we're going to get in the months to come. And that is, they're usually pretty bad at covering like individual House and Senate races, but the ones they'll want to pick, and you can see some of this already,
yeah,
is they're going to say, well, we need to find the kookiest Republican and center all of our coverage on that. You're seeing this now with
right.
Mastriano running for governor of Pennsylvania.
Yeah. They're definitely trying to do it there, yeah.
You know, we can go back years and years ago. I could say Oliver North running for the Senate in Virginia. It was Oliver North in Virginia, Michael Huffington running against Feinstein in California, and they made those the only two races they cared about. I think it was in 2010 when they cared about was Christine O'Donnell in Delaware.
And Sharon Angle in Nevada, yeah.
And that was it. That would be our guess.
Yeah.
Is this is what's coming, is that they're going to try to find the extreme Republicans and try to smear them across the entire rest of the Republican Party. I think they've certainly tried to do this with the whole notion of the big lie. You know, the first thing I would like these guys to say is, no, Biden's president. Can we? Yeah.
Biden. Yeah.
Biden's president. Yes. Now, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on out there that shows you the nefariousness of stuff that Democrats do right now. We haven't done enough about this yet, but that is the John Durham probe, the Michael Sussman trial. We have noticed, Kevin Tobert reported that they haven't been touching it, which is not a surprise. But, I mean, we are learning more and more about how the Hillary Clinton campaign was promoting Russian disinformation. Let's be frank. I mean, the Fusion GPS was digging up all these crazy theories about Trump and Russian collusion that turned out not to be true. So, we had this farewell lunch for Kyle, because we should tell you that Kyle is departing for the greener pastures of Fox News Digital.
Yes.
This makes us very sad, but he's still going to be down the street. So at least we can do lunch. But
right.
I of course, had to joke to Kyle that seeing the fact that he always tends to send video clips from either Seinfeld or The Office or The Simpsons, you know, summarize your departure. And it was, I guess, George Costanza saying, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to go out in a blaze of incompetence.
That's right. Yeah, so there was an episode. Yeah, he was trying to get fired from his job so he could get hired by someone else, and he decided rather than quit or whatever, he just decided, I'm just going to go in there and I'm just going to do terrible job. I'm going to do everything I can to get fired.
Well, that's not what happened here.
No,
it's more like you're going out in a blaze of pizza and cake.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
But I wanted to say, well, for everybody who's listened to the show and who reads Newsbusters, it is the end of an era, because Kyle was an intern here in 2005 and joined in 2007. So he's been here a very long time, and he will be missed. I went away once and came back, so there's always hope.
I suppose. but no, it's
not to put you on the spot.
No, it's been a great 17 years total, if you include the internship, but 15 years as a full employee. And I'm going to miss this place. I'm going to miss all you guys. And Tim, you've been a great friend, mentor, boss, and really have appreciated all of my time here and all of the friendships I made. And it's a great organization. The MRC does phenomenal work with a limited number of people. Sometimes people think we probably have twice as many people working here as we do.
It's true.
We do that much.
Yeah, and people, we have freelancers that make us look bigger.
Right, and people are that dedicated to their jobs here. So,
well, I did get a kick out of it. You know, Whitlock today was like, we're going out to our last lunch with Kyle. I'm like, no, you'll probably go in Kyle's lunch on Monday. So so don't overdramatize.
True, not going to be going too far.
But we obviously appreciate all of your service and to whatever degree Newsbusters looked good in the last 15 years, you were definitely a big part of it. So we wish you well. And, you know, but we still say you got to come around to Newsbusters once, twice, 24 times a day. Thanks for checking us out.